The words from Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. As we pray together and we listen to your word, Lord, we ask that you would help us understand how much you love the world and how much you want us to take care of it. Amen. Whether it's creation care, eco-church, the G7 summit, the climate emergency or species extinction, the topic of today is very important and very prevalent, and maybe we feel overwhelmed by it. So I'm going to share a few thoughts today as we consider it, and a prayer to begin from Latin America. O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. To us who have bread, give the hunger for justice. Amen. I wonder which was the happiest moment of the year that we've had. We've had a very strange time. As I was reflecting, the happiest moment in the last year for me was last summer, sitting beside the sea, the waves gently landing on the beach, a warm breeze, the children happily clambering on the rocks and paddling in the sea and in the stream, looking in the rock pools, and with the barbecue sizzling beside us. And I was cuddling a newborn baby. So how would I tie that wonderful sense of peace and calm and enjoyment with the climate emergency? Well, I have made myself look at my privilege from every possible angle. The weather was lovely, was warm, enjoyable, and was a blessing. The sea was not fearful or overwhelming and not rising to cover the land. There was no plastic or pollution littering the beach. The freshwater stream was running freely down the cliff. There was plenty of water to drink, and our grandchildren were healthy and well-fed. We could choose to have a holiday, because we had an income and a place to stay. And although we'd walked to the beach, which was wonderful, we had also sailed in a boat to get to the island. And the total distance was 50 miles, 50, from home. But I know that that happy day would not be possible for so many millions of people around the world. And even on the Isle of Wight, the beaches are affected by the weather, and the sandstone cliffs are crumbling. I know that rising sea levels has caused countries such as Ecuador and Vietnam and the island nations losing ground as the sea rises. I know that in places such as northeast Ethiopia, the rainfall has dramatically decreased as the climate has changed. So instead of the lush, green, enjoyable countryside and springs of fresh water that we enjoyed on holiday, there is desert, and families have to travel many miles every day to get fresh water. I know that plastic pollution clogs up the rivers and the waterways. We've seen the photographs. And we know that even our waste, supposedly recycled, may actually be sent to be burnt elsewhere and may become a problem for another country. So what does God's word say to us? What do the scriptures say to us as we reflect on our part in caring for God's world? Well, we looked at this last year, didn't we? But firstly, as we celebrated when we studied Genesis together, we believe in God the Creator, who made the world, who gave us a beautiful world, and he declared it is good. And then secondly, we heard from the Psalm today, Psalm 8. There's a sense of gratitude for everything that God has made, but also a sense of overwhelming, the sense of us being very small in the scale of the planet and the universe, but that we are loved and cared for, that you are mindful of us, it says, of God. Thirdly, in both Genesis and the Psalm, the Lord has given us the earth, the animals and the plants to care for them, to name them, to tend the garden, that sense of joy for the space and the giftedness. And so many of us feel that way about our own gardens or our flower tubs or our herb gardens or our allotments. We have a responsibility given to us by God for the land and its peoples. Fourthly, from our gospel reading today, Jesus, the Son of God, becomes incarnate, a fully human being. And coming to live among us, he invested himself in a farming community, in an agrarian community. He worked with wood. And his stories describe the life and growth and harvest, which he links to the kingdom of God. And he uses illustrations from the fields, the farms, the birds and the waters to teach us about God's love and God's passion for humanity. Jesus knows about it, and he's invested in our real earthly world and in the harvest. And there's a new grasp of theology from the Bible that God promises us a new heaven and a new earth, and described in real physical terms. In Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And in 22, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb down the middle of the street. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, fruit for every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So God has made us a world to enjoy, but not to discard and to use up, because it will be one day gathered up into a new creation and be made new. And then finally, in our gospel reading, Jesus speaks of the kingdom of a tree, including all the birds of the air. And this means that all peoples are included. And so although the story is written about the kingdom, it's also an indication that Jesus cares about all the peoples of the earth. We're connected to one another. We're not independent of one another. The kingdom includes all, and we need to take care of all. So if our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia are in drought, we need to care for them. What affects one affects us all. What affects one affects us all. So God created the world and it was good. We are grateful and sometimes overwhelmed by the scale. God has given us the gift of the earth to care for it and to name the animals and work responsibly to care for the climate. Jesus invested fully in our real physical earth by becoming human. And God promises a new heaven and a new earth, a renewal of all things, not the destruction. And the kingdom of God is to include all peoples. We are connected to one another. The climate problem isn't a justice issue. Hunger and homelessness are a justice issue. What affects one affects us all. So what do we do about it? So we sometimes feel overwhelmed, don't we, about the scale and also about the diversity of different projects and directions in which we could go. So I'm going to say again this prayer that we might have an inner passion for God's care for the world. O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to us who have bread, give the hunger for justice. Climate change is not only an environmental issue, it is a poverty issue. It is a hunger issue. It is an issue of inequality and injustice. So says Catherine Hayhoe, a Christian climate scientist. So my appeal to all of us today is to think again how we can respond. As a church, we are constantly building little steps, little changes, little growth, more understanding and learning from each other. We can make lifestyle choices individually, as a church, make decisions as a community, and we can all invest and learn about the impact on the environment on the international scale. So there are many things we could do, but I wonder whether just a few to highlight here today. On a personal level, to reduce our consumption, whether it be water or gas, electricity. Maybe we can change our diet and reduce the amount of meat and dairy and not waste food. Let's find ways to use it. And then thirdly, to think about our consumer lifestyle. Instead of new, let's recycle. Let's buy secondhand. My father always says to me, "You look great, Marion, but I don't want to know where you got those clothes from." And he means that he knows that I've shopped in the charity shops. We've got two fantastic ones in Hook. So that's on an individual response. So secondly, on a church scale, St. John's Hook PCC has met and has agreed to work towards being a net zero church in 2020. It's going to be a challenging journey, but we're going to work towards it. And we've also agreed to work towards the A. Rosha Charity Bronze Award, which means looking at our five areas of our life as a church family. So we've thought about our personal choices and our church decision. And as we all know, this week is the G7 summit, and there are going to be conversations and decisions made which will affect the whole world. There's an international concern about climate change, and some say that we have 11 years only to keep the climate change temperature, the rise, under 1.5 degrees. There's so much we can do. We can pray always. And so as I close and I leave us to reflect on our own response, I finish again with that prayer from Latin America that we connect our lives, care for the planet, with the lives of others. O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to us who have bread, give us the hunger for justice. Amen.